Hello and welcome to a more traditional connecting consciousness update, more traditional in the sense that we're going to be taking the questions as we normally do, but obviously I think that a lot of those questions will be around the topic, and I have a few updates as well. So right, let's go straight into it. You have clearly will have been aware of the situation with the locomotive, as the Americans call it, the steam engine, as we call it, that appeared to be driven deliberately against one of the hospital ships. It didn't make it, but it jumped the tracks and crashed forward. That's not an isolated incident. At first, it was so bizarre that I never discount anything, but I was very suspicious of it. It just seemed such a very strange thing to do, even for, you know, these deranged people. But, you know, the feedback I'm getting is it does appear to be genuine. There really was a mind control attempt on, you know, the guy who's driving it. And yes, you know, that's exactly what they tried to do. More seriously, you know, the granddaughter of Robert F. Kennedy appears to have gone missing, and her son, while on a canoe or a boat, and the information that I've received, which is not substantiated, is that this is definitely a kidnap attempt in order to try to buy some form of leeway in regard to the military operations that are taking place. So I absolutely do stand by the statement that a number of underground bases have been targeted. The ones over the last 3-4+ years that have been, you know, subject to violent actions, they were not places where people or children were being held. These were places where, well, there was experimentation going on, but they were more to do with technology and non-human interaction. The bases that were not targeted, and I think many of you who are in the intelligence network or have been, but probably looking at lists, if you ever saw lists, of why this base was now under white hat control, but this one was not. And what was it that was holding things up? And it was a very clear attempt to wait until the right moment to go in, and with those bases where there were children being kept prisoners, to have them released. That's still ongoing. Don't please just think there's one underground base where this is. It's a big operation right across the US. And in a European country, which I suppose I can say is Italy. And there are other lesser targets, but mostly it's the United States of America and Italy, although the British, a very small elite force of British, are having a look at or one or possibly two such locations here in Britain, but it's not American-led, it's British-led. So that's right across the board. Definitely seeing a retaliation. The only two weapons that, you know, these bad guys had was either a, what we call a dirty bomb, or a biological warfare weapon, an agent. And that's exactly what they went for. They went for the biological agent. And the great concern now, of course, is that they might have a second one, another one. We just don't know. We genuinely don't know. They were desperately scrubbing around to try to find something from Wuhan, and they got, you know, they got that virus. But what else they may have, we really don't know. And I would just say that the situation is ongoing. I did do the Ted Marr radio show last night, and I think that, you know, I can't do much more than just point you to that. So if you didn't catch it, there was a lot more updates and information in that. So go and have a listen to Ted Marr's radio show that I did last night. That will bring you up to date. So what we want to do is to, you know, talk a little bit about Connecting Consciousness now. It's an organization that if you haven't joined, why haven't you joined? You don't have to pay anything. And it's really, really important that people who understand the truth or seeking more truth and have, you know, turned their back or distanced themselves from this rather controlled world that is around us. The world is beautiful, but of course the rules and laws in place are not. And so, you know, there are many spiritual organizations out there. Nobody says you can't be a member of everyone that's going, as long as they've all got, you know, an ethos which is positive for the planet. And, you know, it's really important that we can support each other should there be a situation where we don't have any internet for a few days, where the communications go down. Then at least, you know, if you have been talking to people, you know, within the community, the spiritual community, then you are in perhaps a more stronger way to go on for the next 2 to 3 days without it. But regardless of that, if that occurs, then don't sit at home quaking with fear. You know, find yourself a hobby, find yourself something to do, because many of us will sit looking on the computer, and if that's taken away from us, we suddenly have to say, what do I do with my life? That's a really good wake-up call for ourselves in terms of, let's go and do something positive. So, you know, one of the things that this has done is it made us look into ourselves. What do we really value? You know, what is more valuable? Is it, in these times, a cell phone, or is it a spade to dig the earth with? It's very hard to use a cell phone to dig the earth with, but a spade is very useful. I am obviously being humorous and joking, but the point is that emergencies force us to reevaluate who we are, what we are, and what's really important to us. So if you're a member of Connecting Consciousness and you have your internet, and we still do at the moment, or we certainly do, then please make sure that you're using MeWe Pro to communicate with other like-minded members. There's lots of topics on there worth looking at, and we'll refer back to MeWe Pro in terms of some of the very useful information that people have to help combat the effects of the virus. All right, before we go on to the question part, we did have a meditation, and perhaps some of you might have been wondering why I didn't mention it. There's always a trailing off period of energy, and you know, I didn't think we would be hugely attacked for the meditation, and we weren't. Bad guys are a little bit more preoccupied elsewhere at the moment, but sometimes I always leave it a couple of days or 3 days before I will refer back to it. We did have quite a few of you members respond, some very interesting responses, all of them positive. Number of you, although you were thousands of miles or kilometers apart, very similar response, picking up the same sort of thing. It was very useful, and you know, although I couldn't say it at the time, and I can say it now, there is no coincidence between the timing of the meditation that I wanted and the White Hat activity. And we can all be very proud that we were the first wave, because we were looking at not just the virus, if you remember. I didn't want you to target the virus. I wanted to use the intent to take us to the fifth dimension, to break out of the fourth dimension's control. That's why I was quite particular with the wording that went out to the US members, although I couldn't tell anyone why that was. We were setting an intent to take ourselves from the control of the fourth dimension into the fifth, and there should be no doubt that within a few days of that, the activity of the White Hats started. So yes, we were the first wave, but we were operating on an energy platform. I knew that we wouldn't take too much damage, unlike the activity we did against CERN, where a lot of our members took quite a lot of pain from that. But it was a price worth paying. This, we didn't have too much to worry about, simply because of the other activities going on physically. And you know, when you're very successful, you know, one, you're very great, when the BBC starts poking fun at you, and lots of people have had that. But how exciting today for me to find that a supposed charity, I'd be very interested to find out who funds it, a supposed charity has started attacking, not me directly, it's interesting, but the point that 5G weakens the immune system. They're actually using the words that I used. That's fantastic. The BBC now is engaged with a supposed charity. I bet you they're funded by one of the bad names, to counteract the fact that 5G weakens the immune system. In Great Britain, two 5G telephone masts, cell phone masts, have been attacked by local people and set on fire. That's in Great Britain. In China, 5G masts are being pulled down, and it's causing a lot of concern for those who make billions of dollars out of the masts and 5G. And of course, the very evil people who are behind 5G running around now absolutely swearing blind that 5G doesn't harm you, it's perfectly safe, and all of this. So I'm really proud of the fact that what I said was that 5G weakens the immune system. And now if you go on the BBC, you'll find that there's some charity. What's a charity doing defending 5G? That's fantastic, isn't it? Could only happen on this planet. And they're saying that the two things, the two key facts they're going against are 5G doesn't cause the virus, and I actually agree with that. And then it says 5G doesn't weaken the immune system. That's taking me on. Well, I'm really interested to see where this goes. So if you're a member of Connecting Consciousness, then fame at last, you know, they're wheeling out charitable organizations now, superbly funded, I'm sure, with lots of people answering telephones, and chief executive and assistant chief executive and a team of managers and project managers, exactly what all charities about, empire builders. And here we are, just a little team trying to tell the truth. Right, so also there's going to be a link when we do this to, what is it, Edge of Wonder?
Yeah.
Right, to Edge of Wonder. Edge of Wonder have also been picking up that there's quite a groundswell of opinion that there's no virus, that it's just something that comes out in you when something happens. And five, and this Edge of Wonder have done some research on the subject, and have come to the same conclusion that I have. There really is a virus. And one of the guys in this, there's a two-man team that does this, it's a friend or a family member who's a doctor, and there is some video that's been sent from New York. I have to warn you that it's pretty disturbing. There are many images of people in body bags, dead from the virus. And I think that they've gone and done this because they are so concerned that there is this big movement to say that there's no virus. And these people have got a very good reputation. I've never met them, I haven't even spoken to them, but I've watched a couple of their works, and they're very much sort of on the same tune that I'm on. Although obviously they're in the US and I'm here in Britain. And you know, a lot of the information that I've got from one source, they've clearly got it from a second source, a different source, but they broadly match. And they've gone and done this. Please watch that. It's pretty harrowing. It's very difficult. However, sometimes we have to watch that which we don't like to see the truth. And you know, Connecting Consciousness stance on this is that it is a real virus because it came out of a test tube. It came out of a viral lab. That is why America is suing China for $20 trillion. Because they are saying that you should never have had a biological weapons lab in China. If you hadn't had that, the virus would never have got out, would never have been created, and millions and millions of dollars wouldn't be lost. Thousands of American lives wouldn't be lost. And so America is now seeking $20 trillion from the Chinese government to bring the American economy back, to pay it back. I did talk about this on Ted's show yesterday. And if it was not a real virus, there wouldn't be a leg to stand on. So I can absolutely assure you this is a real, genuine virus. Okay. When we did that wonderful meditation, many people got some very interesting downloads or some experiences or connections. And of course, Becky, who is the overall coordinator for connecting consciousness, clearly has some psychic skills, and she was able to make a connection, and she told me what she got out of that. I was so impressed with that, in terms of it's relevant to what we're trying to do, it's relevant to the information we're trying to bring out, that I've asked her just to spend a few minutes just to share that with you, because I think that would be very helpful. So Becky, would you be very kind and just share with our listeners what you got?
Sure, yeah. Well, thank you for that introduction. So I prepared myself for a while before I went into the meditation on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And because I have been meditating quite a lot that week, with all the preparation, I found that I went straight into really profound meditation for me. And my first and biggest point was that at a basic level, people just need to connect with their heart and to their breath and focus on this, and that this is the gift that we have while we're alive in our bodies and here on earth. Mm-hmm. And I did write this in a post on to our members.
Is that MeWe Pro?
Yeah. And I wrote that our hearts and breath are what keep us connected, not only to the life here in our organic body, but also to our divine higher self. And through this, we can focus on going deep within to the inner stillness and quiet. And it's a beautiful and wonderful place to be. And in here, we are totally balanced with our divine masculine and divine feminine energies, fully balanced, and we have inner peace. I connected with our Mother Earth and felt her heartbeat and her thoughts. That was really profound, because I was just focusing on my heartbeat, and then I got a much bigger and slower one. I was aware that it was being sped up, because I was aware of a sense of time passing, you know, night and day and night and day and night and day. But the heartbeat was sped up for me to be able to listen to, because it's much slower in real time. And then that's when I really sort of went deep down and connected with the earth. And I realized that we are with her, all of us, whether we realize it or not. And all we have to do is to be still and focus on our breath and heartbeat, and that these things connect us all. And this is the time to clear the negativity within ourselves. Let it fall away and shake it loose. Focusing on the love that is within us all, and that goes with a sense of joy and gratitude as well. And we don't need to imagine anything with our minds, just feel it with our heart. And that's the quickest way not only to connect with the fifth dimension, but higher. Mm. And that's what I felt was a really beautiful feeling and message.
Okay.
And that we can all do this, because we can all breathe and we all have heartbeats, those Hopefully. Of us that are alive here on Earth right now. And so through our breath and heartbeat, we can connect with all that there is. And it's in this beautiful space that we all have and we all can connect with, that we can find the answers to our questions. And going beyond that, that there are questions and or going beyond this are all the questions and all the answers. And going further, no need for questions or answers. And the biggest thing for us to do is to shake the fear and negativity loose and break free from it. And I felt this very strongly and saw it like droplets of tar attached to us.
Tar?
Yeah, it was like black darkness.
Do you mean like black goo?
I guess so, because it was liquid. Okay. And I saw it as attached to us as sort of humans individually. Then I saw it attached to humanity and splodges around the earth. That's and then to the whole earth. But I just saw it as the earth moving through, that it was just slipping off and falling away.
That's as we move up into a higher vibration, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I said, this is what we can all do. Simply let the fear slip away. And it's easier to do now than ever before in our lifetime here
that's
on earth.
True.
So that's what I was getting.
Thank you. So I want to thank Becky, and I want to thank everybody who took part in that very useful meditation. Useful because it launched the intent of humanity in a non-violent way. You took part in that. You actually assisted with an intent that was non-violent, non-confrontational, but just asserted humanity's wish to escape the chains that we're in. And then that, of course, was led on by physical action. And those of you who have been very kind and listened to me for a long time often have, perhaps, if you can remember, heard me say that others had to do the military side of it, they had to do the physical side of it, that connecting consciousness, humanity as a whole, would do the intent, but others would do the physical. And that's exactly what we've done. We've put into practice what I said 7-8 years ago. We put in the intent, the energy signature, the frequency, and then others, whether they be military or whoever, they then do the physical side of it. So we're not covering ourselves in that aspect. We're being separate from it, but we're supporting it and believing in it. Now, there are many of you who I know listen to me and are involved in the physical side of it. Publicly, you can't show that your allegiance to connecting consciousness, but privately, I know you do. And for those of you who understand both the spiritual side and the physical side, well, then that's exceptional, because then you are able to be the sword of justice. And that's really what you guys are. You are the sword of justice. Thank you very much indeed for serving your country, whichever country you are in. You have been of service, and you will be more of service, and you're fighting for the very salvation of humanity and the concept of good over evil. So keep doing it, please. Right, thank you. Thank you, Becky. I think we should have some questions. Before you start, I'll just say that we've cheated, because we've drawn questions more recently, simply because we want topical questions. And once this emergency is over, we will go back and pick it up from where we left off. Okay, Becky, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jenny McNabb says, could Simon comment on the link between 5G and the virus, where it appears that in the locations where 5G is up and running at 60 gigahertz or more, and the virus is also, people are dropping like flies, as was evident in the Wuhan area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. No, people were dropping like flies because they had the virus, because their lungs were so damaged, they weren't able to bring oxygen into the bloodstream. And so the brain was starved of oxygen, and therefore they keeled over and died. That is why viral patients in hospitals, the very first thing they do is they stick them on oxygen. In Great Britain, because we have had 40, 50 years of running the health service down, we are now in a position where we're not very well at coping. And so anyone who has the virus is told stay at home, and no matter how high your temperature or how delirious you are, you're told to stay at home. But as soon as you can't breathe and that becomes serious, then they'll come and send an ambulance and take you to hospital, because that is the final stages of the disease. It's the final stages, and if you're not put on oxygen and have a pipe, a tube put down your throat, then it's incredibly serious. Right, let's talk about the 5G aspect. There are plenty of places where 5G is up and running, but people aren't, quote, dropping like flies. If you look at an area where 5G is in operation, then everyone should drop like flies, shouldn't they? You should have whole blocks, whole streets all falling down at the same time. That's not what's happening, because this is a virus. So somebody goes out to the gas station, they fill their car, they forget to wear gloves, they hold the pump handle, they come back, their family, their friends, and they pass it among them. And therefore that house gets it, but the next house that has nothing to do with them doesn't get it. That's the virus transmission, okay? And there's a very interesting clip, which I've already referred to, that is going to be put on here, Edge of Wonder, on the latest ones. They are also picking up that a number of people are coming out with utter nonsense. It's utter nonsense. I don't know whether these people are funded by Black Ops to press this stuff, whether they're just deluded, I have no idea. But those people who think it's all just nonsense, tell you what, go out, shake hands with everyone who's got the virus, and then come back and say, well, you know, it's no such thing as the virus, and then let's just see what happens. Okay, it is absolutely folly and dangerous and probably criminal to go on and say there's no virus, because you are encouraging people then to go outside and risk themselves to the virus. That is an extremely dangerous thing to do. What I have said is that I believe that 5G weakens the immune system. And if your immune system is weakened, then as a biological organism, you are more likely to be susceptible to anything. If your physical body is strong, if the soul in your body, the vibration is strong, you will resist things with far more ease. Okay, so I'm concerned because people who are pushing this line are quite likely to find that others who listen to it might say, oh, well, you know, there's no virus. They'll go outside and catch the virus, and then they'll be saying, well, this person told me that it was all right. So I think it's not good for humanity. You know, this lockdown that we're in, regardless of whether you like it or not, is serving a very useful purpose for a lot of good guys to move around quickly as we move up to the Easter holiday. And as President Trump said, Easter is a beautiful time, meaning that he wants operations concluded by the Easter holiday. And so it is allowing certain good guys to move around in a way they could never have done before, and to engage and connect and find what's going on. And we shouldn't doubt it, because anybody who doubts it, just try and work out what is the chances of someone driving a locomotive at a hospital ship. You know, it even somebody who has lived all their life unawake and unaware would at least, at the very least, look at that and say, well, that's bizarre. And so, you know, there's a war going on. There's a war, and from time to time it breaks through into the media consciousness, but not with the truth, just the reporting of it. And I hope to goodness that when some of these media moguls are brought to task, then the way that news is reported will be much more truthful. And instead of somebody sitting around a table every Friday, which is how it's done at the moment, by the way, and saying, this is the news stories for the next week. This is what we're going to run. You know, it's rather like fashion designers. You know, for 10 years, perhaps jeans or trousers or clothing is designed in one way, and then in 10 years it's completely different. Is that driven by the public who say, we no longer want this color, we no longer want that shape? No, of course it's not. It's driven by these people who push the design, push it on people and say, this is going to be the new red, this is going to be the new purple, this is going to be the design. Now, humanity is actually fed a lie. It's fed an information that makes money. So we're going to do this. Hey, we've got 500 tons of blue dye. So we're going to say that blue is the color this year. So we're going to start pushing that. So once these media moguls release the grip they have, we'll actually get real news reported. We'll actually get truthful news, that's generated or manipulated. That's what I'm seeking, because the big problem is the media. That's the big problem. Look, as I said earlier, where there's now a supposed charity defending 5G. And I'll just go further and say the reason for that is if they put a government agent up, some government spokesman, it wouldn't have carried any weight. The powers that be know now that if they stand there representing authority, no one's going to listen to them. So what they do is they'll wheel out someone who looks independent, but of course isn't, funded through different organizations. And by the time you've started to look at it, you've fallen asleep. But if you had the strength to look back 30, 40 transactions, you'd probably find it came from somebody that we particularly don't like, that's now championing the cause of 5G. Well, that should tell even the most slow-witted amongst us that there's something very wrong here. Why would a charity, which is supposed to fight against cancer or fight against lack of drinking water, that's what charities do, don't they? They fight against that. Why would a charity now be saying how good 5G is? And that's the biggest alarm. That's a big mistake on their part. Keep going, keep saying stuff, because, you know, that's going to really cause an aggravation. So I get cross because money given to charities should be used for charitable work. And I, and in my past, I've worked for charities and I never worked for them again. Doesn't mean all charities are bad, but the ones I worked for were. And I've got members of the family who used to work for charities, and they say they're worse than private companies. Yes, they are. Terrible. Right, okay, next question, please.
Okay, the next question is from Emma, who says, good day, Simon and Becky.
Australian?
No. Quick question about the COVID test kits in America.
Okay.
Are they using those kits to possibly gather our DNA? There seems to be many, many people testing negative for COVID. All the while, we are being encouraged daily to go get tested. Thank you, Emma from Iowa, USA.
In this instance, no. This is exactly what it is. It says on the tin of the label, this is exactly what it is. Governments in the Western world are under enormous pressure to do testing, simply because in Asia they have tested phenomenal numbers, and people are comparing, how is it that South Korea tested this number and you've only tested this number? There's another reason for it. I have to be very careful what I say, not because I'm frightened, I don't want to upset people. In Great Britain, the instruction from the government was, if you develop a cough or a high temperature, or a member of your family does, then you must go home for 2 weeks. You can't work, but we'll pay you. So a lot of people went home, had 2 weeks holiday, got paid for it, but didn't come out of the holiday. This was extra. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, they came back to work. And as a result of that, in a number of frontline services, the number of men and women went down by three quarters. I can tell you where I am that the refuse, the trash, has not been collected because there is nobody there to collect it, because they've all gone home because they're all ill. But however, 2 weeks later, they all came back. So the reason for the testing is to get these kits to these people who then, many of them, not all of them, many of them will test negative. They've got to come back to work. And so one of the great pushes for that is on that side of it. In terms of the ordinary population, it is the only way for a government to try to understand how much of its population is infected but actually not showing signs. So it's just, that's genuine. If they want the DNA from a person, they can use a much more covert way of doing it. And the reality is that unless you're a targeted individual, unless you are a person who's of great interest to them, they don't actually want your DNA. You know, they only want the DNA of those individuals that they're working with, and I would think they've got 99.9% of the DNA of anybody they're interested in anyway. You've only got to go to hospital for them to get that sample. I know in secret operations, they will steal people's clothing and get what they need off it, and then return the clothing a day later, or not return it, as the case may be. So no, this is just genuine knee-jerk reaction by governments to get as many kits out as possible, so they can just literally turn around to the media and say, we did 10,000 testings today. Now, whether those kits are any good, and they work, the early ones did not, but whether they're any good and they work, you know, I don't think that's the point. The point is they're just on a numbers game. So thank you for your question. A lot of people have asked that, I know.
Okay, thank you. Ben from Australia says, question for Simon. Is the Australian military or Navy in line with what the US military and Navy is doing?
Absolutely. They're probably the most online. The US Navy is currently in operations in the Caribbean and also in a number of locations not too far from Australia. Australia's not got the sort of underground bases of evil that we could associate with other countries, because Australia is quite a strong United States ally. Although there were, through the Obama administration, some connections that perhaps aren't so good, and you know, they were one of the targeted areas when Trump came in. I can say that Australian elements are working with American elements and there are also British elements working. I really don't know if any European elements are associated, because I call Britain no longer part of the European Union, so I call a separate. I think there are European countries that have good military within a corrupt, evil political system. So in other words, the politicians are evil, but the military is good in some cases. And you might find the military are covertly operating against the wishes of their own political government. They wouldn't work with American forces, they would work independently, although I understand that American agents have been attached to those units. Take the SAS, the Special Air Service in Great Britain, they are actually in operation, and I understand there are two American dedicated individuals who are embedded in with those teams. So that's my answer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anna from the USA and Matthew from Canada have asked a very similar question.
Okay.
And they say, thank you for all you're doing and this community. I'm concerned that the citizen journalists and alt-health people, wow, in brackets, that I follow in the US and are usually astute, are very recently starting to cause alarm, reporting that we are being forced to stay inside to bring economic and social despair. In brackets, I realise that this was the intent of the virus by the black hats at first. I'm choosing to stay in out of the way of the front line, in brackets, white hats versus black hats. I thought the citizen journalists I follow understood the bigger picture. After Trump announced social distancing through April, they started to panic and report this panic, and some people are getting on board with them. Please, can you comment on this, and sure, are you seeing this anywhere else?
Sure. When an individual or a group of individuals don't have access to the truth, then their minds can totally run all over the place. Not everybody can receive information from certain factors. And if you have a wider view, excuse me, then perhaps you have a more balanced outlook. Also, is the way you put it across. I'm very concerned when I listen to some commentators. They speak very fast, they're bringing in the breath, and they are just emitting fear. And you can listen to that, and the message might actually be not too bad, but the whole, where it's like someone who's just been chased around a block by a man with an axe. It's that type of fear that's coming out. That's of no use to humanity whatsoever. We must, if we're commentating, give the truth as we see it, but we must put it in a way that doesn't use fear to try and make people buy into what we're saying. Let's leave that to the newspapers. A long time ago, they created fear on their newspapers to make people really concerned and buy into it. So if you have a story, then what you need to do is to believe that the quality of the story, the truth of the story, will actually sell it. Not the fact that you're jumping up and down and sweating and fearful and telling people you've got to do this, you've got to do that. That's just not helpful. Okay, I don't think most of these people are paid agents. I really don't. I don't think paid agents would do that. We saw paid agents in 9/11, when the Twin Towers were brought down, and a number of supposedly ordinary people were stopped and interviewed. And that's what a paid agent looks like, or some of these other atrocities that we've had, people have been interviewed. And then sometimes, occasionally, you get a decent, ordinary person who's not an actor. And you look at and compare and contrast. So, this lockdown is actually not the plan of the evil people. The lockdown is actually a plan of a non-evil government who is absolutely determined, once they understood that it was a bioweapon, to get over it as quickly as possible. They'd rather have the short, sharp shock than something that is debilitating and goes on weeks, months, years. So what they've decided is that by locking everything down, they hope that in a short period of time to break this issue. You see, if you lock things down, you go into an economic downspin. But if you can come out of it quickly enough, you can save the situation. If you don't do that, and you have months and months and months of it, and what happens is the public then decide they don't want to use public transport. The public decide they won't go on an aeroplane. They won't go to the shops. They won't do this. And so it doesn't matter what the government does or says. People will actually vote with their feet. And long before the airlines got in problems or you know, the metro got in problems, people were not using them. So there's always going to be an economic collapse in terms of businesses. But if we were looking at a very evil intent government, you wouldn't all be in America receiving money if you're earning $76,000 or less. The government wouldn't do that. Now, the fact that that's been pledged, the fact that there's massive bailouts, the fact that the Federal Reserve now has a new board member called President Trump on it, shows that this is an opportunity not to be missed. And so the White Hats are using this opportunity and this lockdown. The internet has what I call dark spaces or nodes or nexuses of evil operation that is totally AI that does stuff. And what the good guys have got to do is actually take control of the internet. It's not like people sitting like the old telephone exchange where they, you know, I want to speak to someone in Connecticut and they put a little plug in and they could talk to them. This is all automated. And so there's a lot of that that needs to be done. The evil satellites have been taken out. That's very helpful. But there's a great deal needs to be done. So let's not spread fear. That is the job of the evil people. But it is our job to counter that. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen from Canada says, "Hi, Becky and Simon and all of you wonderful CC members. As a Canadian, my question for Simon is around our government and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. What role does he and therefore Canada play in this war between the black and white hats? Thank you so much for all you do."
I don't like him. I don't mean personally. I don't have a personal view. I don't like his policies. I don't like where he's come from. I think that he was a placeman. He was put in there just like the French president was put in. And of course, the media got behind him. And I think that as soon as Canada gets the chance, and I said this on Ted Maher's radio show, I would like French-speaking Canadians and English-speaking Canadians please to put aside some issues of cultural difference and please vote for somebody that actually cares about you, cares about Canada. You don't want a banker in place. You don't want a money man in place. You don't need that. That, you know, that isn't a label of expertise. What you need is a humanitarian, man or a woman, who actually cares about you and humanity. So, you know, vote him out. Same thing with Macron in France. Vote him out and vote somebody in who is an ordinary person. The problem is that until the system of politics is changed across the planet, you know, until that happens, we are always going to be offered as a populace the choice between one political energy and another. You see, President Trump is a Republican, but he isn't. He had to come in on a label of one or the other. And, you know, I do not know of any other politician, except him, who has attacked his own political side. At one speech I was listening to, he was attacking Obama, of course, because Obama was a Democrat. But then he attacked Bush, and Bush was a Republican president. You see, so President Trump came under the label of Republican, but the reality was that he wasn't. He was an independent person, but you know that independents can't get anywhere at the moment because of the media control and the mindset control. So until this changes, we are going to be offered politicians who have come up from birth and been bred and designed purely and simply to be your leader. And really, we'll know when humanity wakes up, when it turns around and says, we don't want any of that. This person down the road, this person who's been, you know, a doctor, or this person who's been doing this good work, we actually rather like them. And that's a destruction of the control system, because the control system controls, in most cases, the leadership. If you control the leader, it doesn't matter whether they're right-wing or left-wing or social or this. If you control them, then you control everything. And that's why they hate President Trump, because the elite don't control him. And just for those of you who are still unsure about President Trump, I was reminded the other day of an interesting fact, that President Trump has not attended a Bilderberger meeting. He has sent a representative, but he's actually never been invited. He's never been invited. And you know, if you have any doubt, then that's the biggest answer as to which side of the fence the man is on. Next question, please.
Okay, the next question is from Sandra in Scotland, who says, firstly, Simon and Becky, thank you in dedicating your lives to humanity, and I send you love and blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Mm-hmm. My question, Simon, is, my daughter is a frontline ICU nurse who is working directly with COVID-19 ventilated patients.
Right.
She's been told that when the vaccine becomes available, all ICU staff will be given the vaccine mandatory. She's worried she will lose her vocation and job if she refuses. But I'm more concerned about the vaccine affecting her health. Now that all the UK universities and NHS are making it mandatory for all nursing and medical students to get all vaccines, or they can lose their education and future career, what advice can you give in helping my daughter and all nursing and medical staff in this mandatory vaccination?
Thank you. Two possibilities. Actually ask, refuse to take it unless they tell you exactly which laboratory it's come from, who funded the research, and who's behind it. Now, if President Trump comes out and says, I have personally, through the federal government, funded it, I personally vouch for this, it's been created by white hats in a laboratory run by the United States Marine Corps, I take the vaccine. Anything else than that, no. And the only way around this, if it comes out from, you know, some laboratory somewhere, probably funded by one of those names that we don't particularly like, the only way we can stop this is if every nurse and every doctor says, not taking it. Because if enough medical staff refuse to take it, then they can't sack everybody. They can't. They just bring the health service to an absolute crashing halt. But if people do take it, then they've won. So my advice is, don't take it unless you can be shown that, and you are happy with where it's come from. If you can't be shown that, they won't show you it, then refuse to take it and run a social media campaign, you know, explaining why you've not taken it. You can't actually say to somebody in the medical service, you know, categorically don't take it, because that's illegal. I think you could probably be arrested. Incredible, isn't it? But what you can say is, these are my concerns. I personally am not taking it. Come and sign my petition. There are certain ways around it. But I am hopeful that if this war, this underground war, it's not just underground, but this war that's taking place, is reasonably successful, then the normal group of baddies who would produce this vaccine, A, to control humanity, B, to make trillions of dollars, if they don't have access anymore, because that's been shut off, and the vaccine comes from a white hat group, then that's a completely different ballgame. But we would need to be given concrete iron assurances that that was the case. Good point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And the next question, and someone who's replied to it, along very similar lines. Patricia from the USA has written, "Many thanks for your tireless work on our behalf. Any word on whether Trump will be able to prevent forced vaccinations?" And Claude from Canada has put a link for a sign the petition from change.org about trying to counteract rushed
It really depends exactly on who wins this battle. If my own view is that it will be a partial victory, that's what I think, a partial victory, but I think some key elements will be removed and taken down. And you know, Jeffrey Epstein did provide some very useful information, which is playing out now in some of these targets, and so did Bush Senior, actually, and Bush Junior, although Bush Senior from previous statements and previous work that he'd done, but Bush Junior from a face-to-face with President Trump. If anybody doesn't know that, I can tell you that President Trump and ex-President Bush Junior actually were in the White House and had a 20-minute, 30-minute exchange, and that was very interesting. So if the war is successful, then I think that we will see a very different play up on the vaccine. If on the other hand it is only partially successful, then we have a problem in terms of the same old actors bringing forward the same old solutions, which of course are not solutions at all. We just got to wait and see. So I'm going to hold judgment and see how we go with this battle. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Sydney, a CC member, writes, "I feel the Earth is being watched by many races as to the outcome on many fronts regarding the human race at this moment in time. Have you had any information from the races that you are aware of? Thank you, Simon. A love and light to all."
Thank you. I don't think there's ever been a time consistently where so many craft have been in the vicinity. From time to time we get quite large fleets or movements which sometimes come up, and even, you know, ordinary amateur astronomers or sky watchers can detect it. Of course the intelligence organizations detect it regularly, but I don't think we've had such a consistent number of ships, and what we've got is a circumstance of two factions observing, watching to see how it plays out. When two factions negative to each other in space doesn't automatically mean they have a fight. It isn't always a war in space. There is such thing as diplomacy, you know, and you know, in this planet, this place, we have what we call CD plates, and you know, watching a TV program only the other day, corps diplomatique, which means that, you know, you can break any laws you want, but if you have a CD plate on your car, you are not part of that country. I mean, the Americans have quite a funny joke with Great Britain. In London, we have two charges. One is an emission charge. If you drive your car in Europe, have a bit of pollution, you get charged, and if you just drive your car in anyway, you get charged. I forget now how many millions of dollars has been rung up by American diplomats who absolutely refuse to pay this. And you know, it's such a joke that they'll drive every day, they'll go through London, and the right department in, you know, government will send them a bill for £60 or whatever it is. And quite rightly, the Americans take it and they file it and they put it away, and no intention of paying it. So when you have a diplomatic immunity, you can do anything you want. And one of the ways that we've got to look at the planet actually is this concept that certain people are above the law. You know, certain actions are above the law. Intelligence services have always been above the law, except when they get caught. But this concept that you know, there is a rule for one and a rule for everyone else. That's not the way we need to be. So, you know, I'm hoping for lots of changes. I don't think the world will be the same again. I don't think human consciousness will be the same again. I think that although it might appear to return to normal, the underground, the metro's running, you know, this is happening, that's happening, but people will be different. And I think that's a very positive thing. Do we have time for any more?
Yeah, just one more. Maria from Germany says, "Dear Simon, do you have information about a blackout also in Germany and other European countries?"
Would expect it in Italy, that's for sure. Although the latest I've heard was that it's actually been very successful. The White Hats have been pretty successful. I don't ever expect 100%, but have been pretty successful. I don't like Angela Merkel as the German leader. I know that she and President Trump do not get on. I know that President Trump upset her greatly by telling her that he felt that Germany had a need to pay some compensation for what they did in Poland. She didn't like that. So if there was going to be a blackout of any sort as a cover to do anything, yes, possibly in Germany, because Germany is so, at political level, anti-America. I don't mean the people, I mean the government. Any individual, anybody, a leader of a country who can bring in 1 million non-nationals, as she did, in a very short period of time, has clearly got another agenda. There clearly is a very separate agenda here. Why would you bring in 1 million people that don't speak German, not likely to get a job, need housing, need medical care, and they're not mothers with 3 and 4 year old children. They're all men between the ages 20 and 40 who are exactly the sort of people who go and smash up things, rob. Not everyone. I'm not saying that migrants or workers will do that, but if you put 1 million people, and let's say 700,000 of them are young men, and you don't give them access to housing, you don't give them access to food, you don't give them access to jobs, well, it's obvious what's going to happen, isn't it? So there are certain countries that are absolutely diametrically opposed to what the American value is at the moment under President Trump. And so if there were any instances of activity, that's when we could expect it. The problem for the Germans is that they are made to feel guilty. How many years is it now since the close of the Second World War? And you Germans are still being made to feel guilty. You know, it's almost written into a book that you are responsible for what your great-great-grandparents did. This is ridiculous. This is blackmail. This is absolutely nonsense. And it's about time that certain people, you know, took Germany through to the fantastic country that it should be. German people are no more warlike than anyone else. They were manipulated and used, and that, you know, that's what we got out of it. So, yes, if there's going to be any activity, Germany will be a very interesting one to watch. Thank you. Do we have any more questions, or are we
I think we've done more than an hour now. I mean, there's so many questions.
Well, we have done more than an hour, but is there another interesting question or not?
I think we've finished now.
We're finished. Well, you've done the
Yeah, I closed it down, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right, you've already closed it down.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So that's it then. We're done. I want to thank you all very much for taking the time to listen. And I will obviously do the regular short updates when I receive more information. But the letter I'm ending on really is H, which is the letter for hope and healing and happiness. So hope to speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.